It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
Welcome to Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. Thank you guys for listening to the show all around the world. By the way, Mark, update, 144 countries now. It jumped four more.
Wow.
So yeah, I just did this. Wow. I forgot to tell you guys, I should have said that on the meeting earlier. 144. Just did the research yesterday, and that's beautiful. So thank you guys for all checking us out all around the world. We greatly appreciate you. And of course, all the ones that are here in home plate, we just kill it in California. So, but New York, everywhere, across the land and across the world. Thank you guys for listening to us. Make sure you check out our website, CannabisTalk101.com, as we're the world's number one source for everything cannabis. And feel free to give us a call anytime, 800-420-1980. That's 1-800-420-1980 is the phone number to get a hold of us. And of course, you want to check out our Instagram pages for all the news and information, learn the script, and so much more. At Cannabis Talk 101, at Pot underscore Brothers underscore at underscore Law. Mark is at Waslaw. Craig's at Waslaw Dog. Blue is at One Christopher Wright. And I am at Joe Grande 52. As we get to the show, Mark, I wanted to remind everybody about the Bud Tender Awards created by G4 Live, with a huge vision to be the most ambitious and essential cannabis event ever. This show is designed for people that want to take their business to the next level. Join us in Las Vegas, May 11th through the 14th, 2022, at the all-new Resort World. It's going to be a great event. Snoop Dogg, Travis Barker will be performing live together for the first time. And if you don't go, you don't grow. And on top of all that, Mark and Craig will be doing their seminar out there too. So that's going to be fun. I always love when you guys are just a part of anything and everything, because people get such a kick out of it, and you guys do such a great job in front of everybody.
Well, thank you. We have a lot of fun doing that performance seminar, and it's unlike anything that you'll ever see when you walk into any type of legal seminar or any educational seminar for that matter, because you're going to have fun first, and then you're going to be like, wow, I learned something. So be sure to join us at the Bud Tender Awards G4 Live.
Now, I just seen something that broke right now. As a previous podcast, we just talked about what happened in New York, but I don't know if you've seen this, but the New Jersey, they're now accepting applications for recreational cannabis license. The state of New Jersey has finally begun to accept applications for recreational cannabis license. Now, the Cannabis Regulatory Commission, the CRC, announced that within the first 4 hours of applicants opening, 500 people had already submitted their applications, with 635 accounts created by the end of the day.
Wow.
And that just opened up.
Boom.
I think that's just great. Here's a quote right here. "We are happy to reach this milestone," said Jeff Brown, the CRC executive director. "Applications are coming in. The platform is performing well. And we can officially mark the launch of the state's recreational cannabis industry, getting cultivators, manufacturers, and testing labs licensed and operating will set the framework and establish supply for retailers who will start licensing in March of 2022. Now,
wow.
The CRC also noted that the highest priority would be given to social equity businesses, such as the L Pures that we mentioned in the previous podcast, diversity owned businesses, micro businesses, and conditional license applicants when being reviewed. Now, this includes applicants who were previously convicted for cannabis crimes, live in economical disadvantaged areas, or fit the criteria of minority women, or disabled veteran owned businesses. I love this. Following
yes.
Governor Phil Murphy signing three cannabis bills earlier this year in February, the CRC created the Office of Minority, Disabled Veterans, and Women Business Development in order to follow through with the promise of supporting diversity. A category was specifically created for social equity businesses applicants as well, which includes people who have lived in an economical disadvantaged area or who have convictions for cannabis-related offenses. Now, those areas are defined as places where individuals earn 80% or less than the state median household income, which was $90,444 to be exact, and also have an unissued rate of one to one and a half times more than rates throughout the state, according to the NJ.com. I just love the fact that they're doing things like this. You mentioned earlier in a obviously never podcast how there's so many people that might not shouldn't be in this industry that are kind of in this industry.
And well, they take advantage.
You know, and I'm here to say I'm not opposed to those. I'm not going to sit and say they shouldn't. It's not right. That's fucked up. It's business, folks. Business is business, right? Like business is business. But when we have people that have done this legacy market and legacy game that have literally put this on their back and risked their lives for it, and then it's so illegal, they should get a shot at this, especially absolutely, when it's only cannabis related. And I love the fact that they're giving them these shots. To me, the pro and con is when I think about this, Mark, and there's always the gray area where they get the funding, but it's like, you look at these companies and think, oh, they got to do this, they got to do that. But it's like, how do you expect some of these people to do that when they don't have the funding, the this and that, and they got to make it seem like, oh, you got to come up with that money on your own. But yet they were incarcerated for so long, they couldn't go back and get a normal job. They couldn't get a high paying job. But to get the license to run the business, it's got to be all under your name. It's got to be all your own money. You can't take other funding from private, blah, blah, blah. Private. It's like, come on, man. I mean, it happens and they make it work because they figure it out. But that's the one part, Mark, that I look at and I go, it's a little fucking rough, isn't that, folks? Like, you know, you're given the opportunity, but now they have to come up with it all on their own.
Well, the social equity laws are, it all sounds all well and good. It sounds very pretty. It sounds very nice and lovely. But when it's implemented, like it was here in California, there's no oversight for people getting taken advantage of by these companies that are supposed to. The whole point is for these people who were in jail, for these people who were affected by the war on drugs and don't have the finances to do that. They don't need it. They're supposed to hook up with a business, a company, a person who has it. They're supposed to be the majority owner, 51%, and the other guy's supposed to be minority and come in with all the money and help them grow. But by and large, that's not what's happening, because you have the predators who come in and say, okay, here's the contract that says you have 51%, and we're sending that to the licensing board. Now, sign this over here that we're not going to show anybody, that's completely fucking illegal. And we really own it, and you're going to get, you know, 10 or 15 grand a month. Now, some people, that's a fucking boatload of money, and that's all they see in front of them. And that could very well help them. But that 15 grand a month, 100 grand a month, maybe, is probably what they would ultimately, even more, you know. So that's where the big disconnect is happening. And with the social equity applicants that we represented, you know, if they wanted to go into a deal like that, they didn't need us to represent them, because we're just not going to represent somebody who's going to sign something that's screwing them. You don't need an attorney for that. We right. could tell you. And, you know, if you want to go do that, go do it. Others, we fought tooth and nail with these big high powered attorneys who were like, well, this is the way it has to be. They don't even know the cannabis regulation and laws like we do. Specifically my brother, who knows them inside out and backwards. And we just saw so much of the greed that looking at something like this, that they're rolling out, hopefully they have more of a grasp and more oversight. But just like we see them rolling out and allowing cities to do whatever they want, like they did in California, bad idea. You know, learn from what we've already done, at least these other states, and show us that a social equity program can work properly with the proper oversight so people don't get fucked again.
Again. You know, here's an interesting statement. Al Harrington, former NBA athlete, friend of the show, and owner of Viola Brands, was one of the minority applicants that did not receive a New Jersey license. Now, Harrington's application's writer, Jamil Taylor, explains to the NewJersey.com how difficult it is for Black-owned businesses to grow in the cannabis space. And he says, it's sad how they're structured the process. But that goes to show how valuable these licenses are, Taylor said. They're limiting vertical integrations, but they've already given vertical integrations to the majority white companies. You know, it never ends. It never ends. It's all this fucking shit that, no matter what, dog, from jump you met me, I've always been screaming black and white because it is.
It is.
The black's the minority, period. I get included in the black. Minority and white. And the white always seems to get the upper hand. And, you know, it is what it is, you could say. But when more fight happens, when more things happen to go in that direction, it is a nice thing to see. So New Jersey, they got the applicants for recreational cannabis license. Hopefully we see a lot of these get into some of these minority hands, which would be nice. It's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back after this.
It's Cannabis Talk 101. It's Cannabis Talk 101.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue Joe Grande and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pop Brothers at Law. I want to tell you guys about Kelly FX. Kelly FX is full and broad spectrum hemp extracted products, contain CBD, CBG, and some 1,300 plus other elements, and are naturally derived substances from the hemp and the plant. You guys, check out the tinctures, the waters, the topicals, and the vape collections. Go feel the effects with Kelly FX. Check them out online. CaliFX.com. That's CaliFX.com. And Mark, I use CaliFX products every single day and night. I find their CBD to be quite extraordinary with the anxiety and everything else. And that night, I use their sleep. So big shout out to them. Not only are we loving partnering with them and doing things with them, but I literally use their products. I literally use everyone's products that we talk with, because
they're all so good. You know, they're all so good.
And they really are. We're not just saying that because we, you know them and love them. It's, we actually use these things. So what do you got over there, Mark?
You know, I actually had a story of when cannabis goes bad, but I just got, before we started our show today, I got a call and it's a consultation call of when cannabis goes bad. And we've been getting a lot of these lately because, you know, raids are ramping up all over the place because of licensing. But this was a good one. It was, and, you know, we get calls all hours of the night, the day, whenever. And this one came Saturday at 2 a.m. And so it was a message that I picked up in the morning, a frantic call from somebody that had a, let's call it a legacy delivery company. Okay. And it was housed in a shopping center somewhere, and that shopping center caught fire.
Uh-oh.
And it was a big fire. It was on the news around here. I don't know if you might have seen it. I don't want to say where exactly, but it was on the news out here in California somewhere. Big fire, big shopping complex. And, you know, he was wondering, what do I do? And this was a guy who's been a client for about 2 or 3 years. Stays out of trouble, minds his own business for the most part. And, you know, when anybody calls with information like that and asks, what do we do? Like, first of all, nothing to do. You're not calling anybody. You're hoping the cops don't call you. Then it's like, you know, the warehouse, the place, the business, whose name, who's on the lease, you know, oh, I am. Oh, well, you're going to get a call probably. You know, so stay away. Then I get a call a couple hours after I called back Saturday morning. Of course, he didn't stay away, as all these guys like to do. I'm across the street, right? I'm down the street. I'm looking. I'm watching. Stay away. Go away. Come into the office on Monday, and we can discuss what we need to do. And when I meet people like that, I've got to discover what their criminal liability exposure is. And know exactly what's going on and what they do. Because this guy also had a different business, legitimate business in the same complex. So he had something else going on. And when you're advising people.
Is this a friend of ours?
No.
Oh, no. The story sounds kind of familiar though, right? Of another friend of ours?
I wonder if it was the same area. I don't know. This is nobody that you know, as far as I know.
Okay. Just asking.
Well, and so you know, they don't want to listen and stay away. And that's the best advice we can give. You know, don't talk to the cops, shut the fuck up, all that stuff. So he's supposed to come see me today, as a matter of fact, and he didn't show up. So that always gets my blood pumping. It's, oh man, was, you know, I'm waiting for the arrest call. What happened? He gets in touch with me. He didn't listen to me. He went back, got all of his stuff, and the roof had fallen in, and the place was condemned. Nobody, don't, you know, so there was nobody watching it because it was completely roped off and just destroyed. Went in, and now he's coming in to figure out how this, when cannabis goes bad story, can turn into a legitimate business. He wants to go legal. He wants to go licensed and legal, which is all too often what we're hearing now. They get busted. Oh, how do I do it? And it might be too late. Depends.
How sad is that for so many people, Mark? And I mean, you hear this story on a daily basis.
I do.
And it's, you witness it, you hear it. I mean, it's such a double-edged sword because people are trying to make a living, but they're doing it with that type of living, meaning you can't do it in the black market. And then when you get caught, think, oh shit, I want to go right now. It's just such a double-edged sword because I get it, but it's not okay, but I get it.
Yeah,
but it's not okay. And then when you get caught, it's like, I mean, I get what you're doing. And I, you know what I use the analogy of? It's like when we're speeding. We all do it. We're in a rush to get somebody. We're in a rush to get somewhere. It's like, meaning, is selling cannabis that big of a deal? Okay. Well, maybe when you're pushing thousands of pounds, maybe it becomes a little, okay. Is speeding that big of a deal? When you're going, you know, 85, 80, you could probably get away with it. So if you're pushing, you know, a little bit here and there, can you get away with it? Eh, who knows? Till you get caught.
Right. And then
you're in a rush to get somewhere. You're in a rush to make some money. It's tough, man. It's a tough one. I know there's so many people out there that make a living doing it. And
and it turns into the same story is like they say, what can I do now? You know, and you're not going to be able to get a license under your name. You know, you can be involved, but with your name on the paperwork as an owner, it ain't going to fly because you just got busted breaking the rules. I mean, why is a state or municipality going to give somebody a permit to follow rules and regulations when they just broke the law?
Mark, say I've been pushing weight for a minute. I got my delivery service. It's all illegal. It's black market.
Illegal or legal?
Illegal. Joe Grande's delivery. Find me online. And I go to you, I go, Mark, you know what? I'm done risking everything. What are my steps? What do I have to do to get me legit?
So we're here in California. First thing is you stop, shut down. Don't do anything that you're doing. It's all
done. Mark, I can't though. This is what pays my bills.
Stop, shut down. Stop doing what you're doing now. Okay. That's what we got to tell you to do now. Continuing to pay your bills and make money is going to leave you exposed. So let's have a conversation about minimizing your exposure to criminal liability. So we can have that conversation. Let's have the conversation about what you need to do to get legitimate. And, you know, it's in basic terms in California, you must have property, whether you lease or own, in a zoned area, in a city that is allowing it and accepting applications. Finding all that together is a pain in the ass, especially here in California, but that's what you got to do. So number one, property. Number two, it's in the zone. Number three, the city is accepting applications. And that's the process. And then, you know, to sit down and really go through it takes about an hour.
Okay. So I sit down with you for an hour. How long would that process take me to make that happen here in California, you think, from what you just said?
So we have to start with property. So I don't know how long it's going to take you to find property in a zoned area. We have clients who hustle and they're out driving around 15 hours a day looking at properties up and down the state.
Can it be a P.O. box?
No. It's going to have to be an address with a parcel number in the zoned area for that particular business you want to do. So once you find the property, let's say you go, you hustle, you go, oh, I found a location in 2 weeks. Cool. Now it's in the city. They're accepting applications. We start the application process. The application process could be one of five different ways, depending on how the city wants to do it. That process is going to take 8 months to a year, likely. And then once that's done, you have to then take everything and give it to the state because it's a dual licensing system. You must have the city or county permit first, and then you get the state license, and then you can operate. So basically, once you have property, the timeline that we give is a year to 2 years to the time you're up and running. And the shit thing is, if you're leasing a property, you are carrying that lease every month until you start operating. You know, and we try to do deals with landlords where it's, you know, paying less now. And once you get the license, it's going to be more, because there's no guarantee you're getting the license. Let's not forget about that. You know, and depending on the way any particular city is doing it, you could go through the whole process and then not get the license for some reason or another. You know, it's difficult to, if you do everything right and you have all the components and you're working with the right companies and contractors, it's not rocket science. And if you have the property in the zone and you've got everything together, your chances are very, very good at getting it, unless you're stuck in a lottery where that could be anybody. You know, the work is the same. You're doing all the same paperwork, but at the end of the day, it's ping pong balls coming out.
From what I'm hearing from you, it's fair to say if I already am doing something illegal in the black market, in the space, it'll take me approximately a year or two to get me up and running legally. Fair?
Correct.
Minimal a year, up to a year or two to get yourself legit.
Yeah, if you're really lucky in a really good city that has their shit together, which there's only a few in California, you might be up and running in 8 months. You know, that's like a stretch. But when people ask, we say year to 2 years. Be ready for that. You know, be ready to carry it.
Well, there it is. It's Cannabis Talk 101. That's the professional advice from Mark Wasserman, little brother of the Pop Brothers at Law. We'll be right back after this.
It's Cannabis Talk 101. It's Cannabis Talk 101.
Take a hit, get lit, and sit back and enjoy Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, Mark and Craig, the Pop Brothers at Law. And are you looking for high quality seeds? Well, then head to rocketseeds.com or on Instagram at @rocket_seeds. For trusted cannabis seeds. Rocket Seeds is a trusted source for thousands of quality cannabis seeds at fair prices. Head to rocketseeds.com and plant your seeds for Christmas. Grow some cannabis in your backyard. I mean, it's a plant, Joe. What if I took one of these seeds, put it in the ground, and just put some water on it and gave it some sunlight? Will it grow?
How nice
I don't
would
know.
That be, right? Wouldn't that be just great?
And you know, just water it. I don't know. Maybe it's a little more difficult than just that. But I wish I could do that. You know, I just go to Blue, and you know, he's the master grower. So, and I hear he's growing good trees for Christmas.
He is, you know, which is good. Matter of fact, speaking of Christmas and it's holiday time, and we can get into some great stories. But as you just mentioned that, what were some of the big gifts that you got your kids this year?
Oh, wow. Well, do you guys
still do Santa? Like, do they believe in Santa?
Yeah, we have Hanukkah and Christmas.
Oh, you guys. Okay. So do you do the Hanukkah gift every day too with your kids?
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
They get Christmas from the wife's side and Hanukkah from my side. We do the candles and gifts every night.
So do the better gifts come during Christmas or during Hanukkah?
Well, it's even because they're coming from all sides, right? My family is coming, her family's coming at Christmas. So it's pretty even, but the Hanukkah gifts this year was a 3D printer for my middle boy, Mason, who's 10.
That can't be all three. Like, okay, here's a gift for all three of you.
No, well, the other two don't want to use it. This guy's making masks and he made his Halloween costume out of it.
That's so
dope. I mean, it's just amazing. And then my oldest has a affinity and is collecting LP records. And so he got a huge thing from his uncle. My brother gave him a, I don't even know, it's a big old Rihanna box set of LPs with a huge photo album and stories and stuff. And he's got a record player, turntable. And those were the big ones for him. My daughter is actually going to experience her big gift tomorrow night.
What is it?
First Laker game.
Shut up.
And let me tell you,
is you and her or everyone going?
Just me and her. Just me and my daughter.
Oh.
I haven't been watching the Lakers like consistently for years. She's watching. We're watching together. It's just unbelievable the passion she has for the game and the learning and watching. And she was like, I want to go to a Laker game. I said, okay, all right, let me go look. And I go on to Ticketmaster and I'm looking at seats that I could afford, right? So a couple $100, fucking nosebleed.
Right.
And so I start hovering around just to see what prices are. You go out floor, $25,000 and all that crap. And I get to this area right behind the basket where, you know, they have the floor seats and then the aisle where you walk by and then then seats.
Right.
And so those seats were like $800 each.
Ugh.
And that's why I was like, nah. But I looked, it had this thing that, you know, you don't have to pay right now. You can finance it for $89 and you could pay it $100 a month with no other financing or anything like that. So I thought that looks kind of cool. You know what? I'm going to do it. So I push the buttons and then I finish. My phone, I get a notification on my phone from my Chase bank account that I'm negative, like $1,600.
Oh my God.
Like what the fuck?
Happy holidays to me.
So apparently I hit the wrong button.
You paid it all off.
I pay the thing. And so I'm on the phone with Ticketmaster. It's too late. I already had the tickets in my email, right? It's all done. I transferred some money to take care of the negative balance. I didn't tell my wife. I hope she doesn't listen to this.
You did what? How much?
But that's what happened. But man, you know, I'm excited. We're going tomorrow, the Phoenix Suns, and we've been watching these games. And she is, you know, she knows the players.
When Austin Rivers, undrafted white boy, hit that game winning shot in OT.
We went crazy. Wasn't that a great dog?
It was one of those I was watching going, I'm like, who is that? Is that Matt Reeves?
Yeah.
That kid's undrafted out of Oklahoma? What? Don't get me started talking sports again.
You know who's playing? Isaiah Thomas. He's playing good, you know, even though they lost the last two games, you know, he's playing good. But nonetheless, that was her big gift. And, you know, what about your kids? What gifts did they get to have?
So
yours is coming up. So
well, yeah, you a got lot of little Christmas poppets still. And stuff like that. But the big gifts, we got new bikes for them, which was dope because the Santa Claus gave the bikes because they kept telling Santa Rayleigh wants a mountain bike. She doesn't go mountain bike riding, but she wants a mountain bike. So we got.
So they get those Christmas morning.
Yes, they'll get those Christmas morning. They already built them at the bike shop by the house here and everything. Nice. And then we did it. We went and got them iPhones. You know, that was the big
welcome to the club.
Yeah. I mean, it's the iPhone minis, which is great. So they're small and little and they're
iPhone mini. I never even heard of that. What the fuck?
Look at this. $875 a month for each phone for the 12 mini. So
did that just come out?
Yeah, it was a new special. I'm with AT&T. So I feel like I'm doing a plug for them. I wish they gave me a fucking better deal.
I have AT&T.
$875 a month to add them. Then they put me on a new plan, and my whole plan with putting two more phones on it, it went up like, you know, $15. So unlimited everything, whatever. So I was like, you know what? No brainer. Let's go.
Oh my God.
And they have right now the little gizmo watches, which are good and cute and great, but they can't text back, whatever. And they're pretty good with their iPads on limited time, and this and that. And I finally figured out how to do the family plan with the whole thing where every little fidget game that they get doesn't pop up on my phone now.
Right.
So that makes me happy. I finally figured out how to just parent things and not have everything come to me. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. Well, how about this? This was with our first kid, with Jonah, and he was staying over. This is like when he was 5 or 6 or whatever, and he was staying over at my wife's sister's house. And we were at a hotel somewhere having fun. Having fun, video. Fun.
Oh, my God. It shared on his
And then we get a call from her sister. Do you know what just popped up on his phone? The thing? I'm like, oh, my God. That was bad. We had no idea it was shared.
And because of that, I've not kept any stupid pictures or whatever that I love that people send me. I can't even keep them on my phone because it goes straight to their iPads.
Right.
So now I just did this recently as of Christmas is coming. And I was like, setting you guys up with your own accounts, your own everything. But I just get to parent them. So thank God I'm doing that. And you know what? That all being said, I hope you guys all have a good Christmas out there. It's Cannabis Talk 101. If no one else loves you,
We do.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.